heart at Hillside is to create an experience where your faith is lifted and God can breathe life into your soul. Our hope is that today's sermon will encourage you, equip you, and empower you to live the life that God created for you. We're excited to open God's Word together and our faith to be strengthened. Welcome to Hillside.
No matter who you are, where you live, or what you do, we all face situations where we are not sure where to turn or what to do. It can be unsettling when everything around us, the government, the economy, even the medical and scientific communities, is shaken. The good news is that while our world can be shaken, our God is unshakable. Join us as we learn how to trust God and exercise heroic faith in uncertain times.
All right, I'm going to ask you one more time. Let's put our hands together for those online as well. We welcome you. Good to have you here. I want to highlight, listen, you all made something incredible possible yesterday. We had our Hillside Fall Fest with over 500 people on property. Can we put our hands together and celebrate all those who helped make that possible? Amazing. You decorated trunks. We've got a few pictures to showcase for you. And just an awesome time with inflatables. I'm really excited. My girls had a great night of sleep because of those inflatables, despite the candy. You could see some of those. Look at all those trunks. Just incredible time. Listen, what I loved is just being able, we kind of call these in-house, we call them bridge events. Because we recognize that there are people who their first step isn't going to be a Sunday morning service. Or their first step may be a fall fest, you know, free candy, all those sorts of things. And we realize we can continue and just showcase the love of God even with an event like that. And it was great. Our ladies at the front. Here's how it came. They came in, they went down the kids' wing all the way down the hallway there, and if they survived that, they made it to the decorated trunks, and then we had food for them and some inflatables. And I just want to always say thank you for your generosity. You know, that our vision as a church is to continue to reach out, to continue to serve. And some of you have been with us several years now. You know that we had previously done this at Community Park, but just with this, you know, hashtag 2020, let's just say that. We decided to do it on property today as well. We were able to fully honor the CDC guidelines, and it was just great. You really helped make a wonderful event possible, and thank you. Thank you for that. It's neat. It's not only neat, it's exciting to continue to move the vision forward. And so when you hear some of these different events that we're doing, we want to let you know we're doing them safely, and we want to honor the guidelines, but we also recognize life has to move forward. And so thank you for being part of that and jumping in with us. Okay, so today we're beginning a new series, sort of, all right? We're actually revisiting a series that we did for two weekends right before Easter. It's called Heroic Faith. We did this series 2 weeks after we initially had shut down, kind of with the entire nation during the coronavirus. And actually, to just be totally transparent with you, November was earmarked for a different series. But as I was waiting on the Lord this week, and just in my time of preparation, I really sensed Paul, push pause on that series. I want you to begin to speak faith and life in the midst of what's happening, not only in our nation, but in our globe. You see, on a daily basis right now, if you're anything like me and enjoy watching the news in small doses and enjoying checking your email box and recognizing, how did I subscribe to so many alerts? We are getting bombarded on a daily basis, and here's what they're giving us: reality from their vantage point. And what they're inviting us in to see is some very real difficulties the world's facing. There's no denying a global pandemic. Unless you are living with your head in the sand, your life has been dramatically impacted this year. But as followers of God, I want to always come to you and let you know there's another way of seeing life. There's another way of living life. It's not to live life aloof. It's not to live life spiritually with your head in the sand, but it's to recognize that though there are difficulties, though there are disappointments, though there are trying moments, and we are in a sincere pandemic, there's always an invitation to see things God's way. There's always an invitation to live by faith and not fear. And I'll be honest, I have my fear moments, right? I'll be honest, I fall into fear, not on a daily basis, but too many times that I'd probably like to share with you. But FEAR, it's a helpful acronym if you've never heard this before, but you could take the letters F-E-A-R and recognize it's one of the traps of the enemy. And how I've heard this portrayed is that it is false experiences or expectations appearing real. You want to know that in your physical DNA, your spiritual DNA, you were created in the image of God. You were created to lean towards faith. I truly believe that. That there's a lot of theology around what's called the imago or imago Dei, the image of God. It's not only physical qualities, but it's the spiritual qualities. But if we're not careful, our faith can be twisted by the subtle lies of the enemy into fear. If you think about faith and fear from a neutral standpoint, they're both inviting us to forecast or picture a future. Fear's inviting us to see a future where God is absent. Faith is inviting us to see a future where God is ever present, where we are fully loved, and we are living as daughters and sons of the living God. And so I want to let you know, if you haven't noticed yet, this is a big week. And there is a temptation to put our faith in a natural realm. And I want to tell you, we're not governed purely by a natural realm. We're governed by a spiritual realm. Where the last time I checked, the Heavenly Father is still on his throne. And seated at his right hand is Jesus, our King, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And we don't just say this because it's a nice, rational, intellectualized, theological framework for living. Though it is, from my vantage point. But we say this because it's the very substance for our daily living. I mean, let's just be real. What do you do as a nurse or a doctor in these scene, in this time? You're on the front lines. We know several people in our congregation on the front lines facing difficulty, coming face to face with disease on a daily basis. And what, as one of the nurses in our congregation has told me, Paul or Pastor, she'll say, Pastor, I need you to pray. There is such a spirit of fear in this place. And I'm coming in with faith and hope, but we need the prayers to move the temptation to fall in to fear. I want to encourage you, you're in a daily battle. If you haven't recognized, you're in a daily battle. It's will I live toward faith or will I live toward fear? I want to encourage you today through a short story out of 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. I've titled, if you're taking notes, you're one of those members or attendees. Come on, we need a round of applause. I'm kidding. But you take notes, your attrition goes up 25%. You're welcome. You can have that little tidbit for free. But 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 through 17, we're going to look at a story of the prophet, the man of God, Elisha, his servant, and two realms that were at play in the story. Before we get there, the title for this message is Surround Your Seed. Surround Your Seed. I don't want to go down in your books, but I want to let you know, as your pastor, I do my best to keep up our yard. And over the last few weeks, it's become apparent that I have not always done the best job at keeping up our yard. In fact, it's become so vivid that the weeds are outweighing the amount of grass seeds that we had. I've got a brown lawn, but by God's grace, there's some green coming up. I began to think over a month ago when I was well advised/warned by some family to take care of the grass in our yard. And they said, Paul, what you want to do right now? Hey, guys, I got some ringing in my ear. Sorry, let me pause. Is there any way I can get this out? I don't know what it is. I can't preach. It's so sorry. Those watching online, thank you for your patience. I don't know if there's a way. Hey, round of applause for the team in the back. They're absolutely incredible. I need to say that. I never call them out, but I'm struggling to focus. There we go. Perfect. Thank you, guys. All right. So back to the story. Here's what I want to say. Surround your seed. It's one thing to plant seed in a lawn, but it's another thing to be faithful to make sure that the grass can grow. I want you to think about your faith. I want you to think about your spiritual direction in the now, in this day and age. This is the season to make sure you are surrounding your seed with faith. Because your spiritual direction, your spiritual journey, your relationship with God, it is absorbing from around you. It's absorbing from voices in your life. It's absorbing from news. It's absorbing from email alerts. It's absorbing by family you never heard of, but they got your number and they're calling you to let them know how crazy the world is. You're like, I haven't heard from you in a year. Yeah, why are we connecting now? Why are you bombarding me with so much fear? And if you're not careful, you can find your spiritual state being influenced by the world around you. And so I want to talk today about surrounding your seed with faith, giving your faith the ingredients to grow. It doesn't just happen, just like I was warned. Look, when you put your grass seed out, make sure to water it. So I watered it. We overwatered it. And then, if you haven't noticed, it's rained nonstop for a while. And then I watered it some again and again. And we do some of the soil, some of the different, you know, fertilizers and such, and just trying to do our best. And by golly, it worked. We've got grass coming up, getting ready for spring, right? Well, we got some grass coming up, and it works. Here's what I want to say. The same is true for your spiritual seed. Jesus, one of his most familiar territory in his parables was he talked about farming. And it was such a great parallel to our lives. Because here's what I've recognized. You could say, man, I'm a Christ follower. I love God. I know what the beauty of the mercy of God. I know what the grace of God is over my life when I look back. But yet you can find yourself in cycles of struggle. You can find yourself with persistent negative thinking. You can find yourself continually in a deep, dark hole and honestly, no God. But you got bought into an idea that following Jesus is a momentary decision. When it isn't, it's a movement that God has called you to live in on a daily basis that you didn't one time 25 years ago say, I'm in. Thank you. And now I'm just going to walk on. No, 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 no. You're called to have an abiding relationship with God. And the enemy is after that relationship. He will use pandemics. He will use fear. He will use doubt. He will use sin. He's relentless in his pursuit of us. And so we have to overcome his tactics by faith. Else we will find ourselves flowing in a river of fear. And my prayer for you in this season, I'm a big soccer fan, so I just kind of naturally know Europe's news. Well, maybe you don't. But Europe's in like a total shutdown again. I'm not saying it isn't necessary. I'm saying do what you got to do. But one thing I can see is an overwhelming cloud of fear seeping into the cycles of people's thinking. They're acting like they're victims to the world around them. And one of the things I recognize from the Word of God is you are not a victim to the world around you. That you have an overcoming, an overpowering faith within. And it's not just reserved for people on a platform. It's not reserved for a select few. No, it's available to anyone who's willing to be born again in their mind.
Do you know the invitation of Jesus, the most popular story or scripture, John 3:16? It's not about just salvation. It's about Nicodemus, are you willing to be born again in your mind, to break down strongholds of thinking you've held onto for so long and recognize heaven is here, God is with you? That's what being born again. So often I'm being born again. It feels like in 2020, I'm being born again over and over and over. I'm not being saved once and done. But being born again, being the Lord wanting to expand, grow my thinking. And he wants the same for you, that you would expand, that you would grow your thinking, that you would step in, that you would not fall prey to the fear that is drumming up louder than ever before. That you would boldly walk in a confidence that though I am shaken, my feet remain strong and firm on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. We see it play here in 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 through 17, a short portion of the story. But Israel is in battle. Israel, let me get there. Israel is in battle. And we see Elisha is giving Israel military insight or intel. And so it's pretty funny. Everywhere the battles go, Elisha's sending the Israelites the right strategies. And so the army that they're facing, the Arameans, are getting highly frustrated at this. And so they finally found out Elisha's the one sharing the intel. So they gather all of their military and make their way to Elisha's house. Well, Elisha's servant Gehazi wakes up in the morning, and he's doing his typical duty. He's got his coffee pot going. He's getting everything going. He gets it all filled up, and he walks out of his front door. And here's where we pick up in chapter 6, verse 15 of 2 Kings. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. You have those people in your life? I'm sometimes that person. News, circumstances, difficulties. I look at Kelly. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? Maybe get a little southern twang in there. Oh, my Lord, you know, what shall we do? We see that the prophet answers this. Don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There are people who have fostered such a relationship with God that there are moments I will call them, where I will talk with them, where I will go to grab a cup of coffee. And their first three words are, don't be afraid. I know how this ends. God's going to make a way. God's going to bring forth a miracle. God's going to heal. God's going to provide. God's going to strengthen your soul. You need those people in your life. Because oftentimes in life, the enemy knows what our easy buttons are. And for Gehazi, as I would be, as most of us would be, to wake up one day, go out the front door, and see the U.S. Army in front of your house, it would be a little overwhelming. We'd want some answers. And so what's fascinating, though, is we see Gehazi comes back to Elisha, and how does Elisha respond? Elisha responds with what he knew to be true. He somehow had surrounded his seed of faith. Somehow it was protected, it was shielded. I want to encourage you, you need a place in your walk with God that is still, that it is at rest, and it is confident in God's goodness and in his omnipotence. presence and omnipotence, his all-powerfulness in your life. And there's a way. Yeah, can we bring that mic? That'd be great.
Check one. There's a way that we can walk on that. So surround your future with faith. I've got a few ways that I just want to lead us through this story. But first off, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. Now, not when you're thinking about your circumstances, but when you're thinking about your trust and your faith in God. What you see is what you get. Gehazi and Elisha's experiences were dramatically different. Can I tell you that? Gehazi and Elisha's experiences were dramatically different. Gehazi saw and received. Notice, here's what he saw. He saw the army. He saw the military. Before giving any thought, he went straight into fear mode. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? I don't know what your phrase is. I'm not going to propose what it is. We want to keep it G-rated here. But they're probably words you use that you would not want your kids to hear. Oh, snap. Right? My goodness. Shoot. Right? All right. Well, we'll stop. There are probably phrases you have, and here's what the response, here's what it's drawing out. What you see is what you get. Elisha could say, what I see is what I get. Notice what he saw. He saw, though I'm surrounded by you, as that worship song goes. Though I'm surrounded by you. Here's what he recognized. The whole host of heavenly armies watching, waiting, willing to protect, to shield. Can I tell you, God is watching over you. God will not see your foot slip. He's not asleep when you go to rest. He's at work. And the Holy Spirit's doing more behind your back than in front of your eyes. And it's called faith. But what we see is what we get. And so we do have to, from time to time, in our journey with God, we just have to ask, to whom are we looking? As psalmists would say, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. But so often, if we're not careful, especially in a season of life, especially with the pandemic, you know, I think it's become very obvious for some people. Where does my help come from? People are filling in the blank. People are filling in the blank where their help comes from. Their heart, right? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so out of the overflow of Gehazi's heart, here's what was coming. Oh, my Lord. Out of Elisha's heart, first three words, don't be afraid. One of the promises of God that's over 365 times you find in your Bible. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So what you see is what you get. I think many people live in the realm of Gehazi. Notice what Gehazi had to do. Gehazi was living with second-hand God. You know what second-hand God is, right? Second-hand God is, I got to go to somebody else to hear what God has to say. And it's very important you operate that way when you're first saved. But it's not your portion. It's not your inheritance with God. God wants to speak to you with what you're walking through. He wants to whisper to your soul. Many people have settled for a Gehazi faith. Well, I'm not sure of God's nature. I don't know if he can really be trusted, but I'm going to keep coming and hearing. That's important. I encourage you. That's important. But know that the end game for God is to be able to whisper to your soul. Know that the end game of God is that you would hear him, and that Jesus, in the Gospel of John, moments before he was to be betrayed, he would say, my prayer is that you and the Father would be one. That abiding walk with God begins to transform everything in your life. That you can walk trusting him. God longs to be close to you. He longs to reveal his nature to you. We're called to walk in this direction, that in the midst of shutdowns, in the midst of layoffs, potential difficulties that we all know very real. I'm not asking you or inviting you to deny your reality. I'm just inviting you to see a supernatural reality. And don't settle for the subtle temptations of the enemy. He will use people. He will use close people. He will use well-intentioned people. By golly, he will use people on your favorites list on your phone. He will use them. There are people you should not call when it's difficult. Call them when things are going great. Don't call them when it's difficult, because they're going to jump on the bandwagon with you. They're like, doubt, I'm in. Fear, yeah. I'm in. Difficulty, oh, come on, that's my. And what are they? They're so comfortable in those environments that they just love to hang out there. And so by default, that's where they go. They project fear. And you find yourself ending the conversation like, it is bad. It is terrible. Oh, my goodness. But then there are other people that call you up higher. Man, I know this is hard. Man, we're going to be praying. Hey, let me encourage you. Read this book. Hey, say this prayer. Come on, stretch your faith. Be strengthened. Why is that so important? Because sometimes it's a life and death situation. Sometimes people struggling in their marriage, struggling in their dating relationship, they don't need to go to people who are just going to drag them down. They need to go to people who will speak truth, speak God's word into their life, lift them up. Elisha saw a different realm. What you see so often is what you get. Second here, we walk by faith. This is going to sound quite obvious in some ways, but walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul, he's sharing, the Apostle Paul, greatest evangelist, wrote most of the New Testament. He's encouraging the 2 Corinthians, the church in Corinth, hey, walk by faith. Keep in mind, we do what we do because we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. This Tuesday, walk by faith, not by sight. Nah, this Wednesday, walk by faith, not by sight. God is still on his throne. He's not up. He's never been running for re-election. He wins every time. Every time. He's faithful. He's faithful. You have nothing to fear. No one to fear. There's no circumstance you are stepping into this week, next week, 6 years from now, where God has predestined in his mind, you know what, I'm just not going to show up. No, he will be there every single time. Walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, who's writing the story of your life right now? Is it faith or is it fear? Who's making the decisions in your life right now? Is it faith or is it fear? Who is the loudest voice over your future right now? Is it faith or is it fear? Because 5 years down the road, you will be able to look back and say to yourself, man, I settled there. I settled there. I settled there. If I could take that time back, I would have stepped in and declared God's word over my life. Stepped in and declared God's word over my truth. I remember before I met Kelly, I had gone without dating somebody for a year and a half. Come on, go back with me. Some of you, go back with me. Do you remember being single as a young adult? No. And I realized time and time again, I began to write down exactly who I was praying for, what I wanted, what God could do. And I'll tell you, felt like famine time and time again. I was good looking, y'all. Some of you are like, no, I'm surprised you could even find it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it took a while. It took some time. But here's what I did. I decided I'm not going to settle. Not settling. It's not. God's best. It's not God's best. So what do I do? What do I do? I just by faith. God's going to make a way. I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to walk by faith. Because it is, again, listen. You remember those days and the fear begins to creep in. the fear begins to creep in and begins to settle over your heart. And here's what we can do sometimes. We can shrink back. Gehazi could shrink back. But Elisha saw a different realm. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to close with chapter 11, verse 20 through 30. I want you to see in each of these stories the common thread, the two words that hold it together. Verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And that, let me see, if you're new to this passage of scripture, was that his bones wouldn't lie in Egypt, but they would go to Israel, to the promised land. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. 28, by faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. 29, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, we surround our seed. By faith, we speak into arenas of life, and we speak to mountains to move. In all my years of theological training and studying, I love to read. My wife will tell you, I just love to read. You can never move past by faith. By faith. You can never move past by faith. Activating God's life in us happens by faith. I was reading a devotional book by a man of faith written in the 70s. And he was writing and just putting his things down. He's written this weekly devotional, and I've just been going through it. And he said, in culture, now keep in mind he's writing this in the 70s. He said, in culture, in our American culture, that the driving force is to reach a place of comfort. It's to reach a place where you have enough stored up that life can be easy. This particular man of faith said, man, I've never started a project with lots of money in the bank. God always has me start at zero and move up. This man started universities. This man had healing crusades. Remarkable to think of it. And what it was speaking to me are these two words, by faith. We're in a season, you're going to make it by faith. And we've got to be cautious to surround our seed with faith, with hope, with prayer, with words of life. Amen? Come on, let's close. We thank you, God, for this morning. I thank you for your goodness in our life. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be set like Elisha, that we would have our eyes on you, that we would see you for who you are. God, right now, for every heart here, Lord, that is feeling overwhelmed, God, not only with the pandemic, God, but with disappointments, with discouragement, God, that even on the way into church got news, God, that was disheartening. I thank you, God, that you are faithful to enter that difficulty and pain with them. But Lord, as your word says, you will lead them through the valley, God. I pray that our faith, Lord, would be strengthened in this season. Lord, I thank you, God, that the adjective before our faith would be heroic, God. That we did things in life by faith. That we remained steadfast. That we remained patient. That we remained consistent. That we remained committed, God. When those around us or the world around us was falling apart. We're grateful for your goodness, for your love and your word in our life. just with every head bowed, every eye closed, would love to give you an opportunity to step in to relationship with God. For those online, for those here present, just want to invite you to say these words: God, I need you. I need your hope. I need your strength. I need your power in my life. More than those, God, I need you and your saving grace. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin, Lord. I turn a new leaf today. I give you my past, I give you my present, and I give you my future. I trust you, Lord, with my life. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As I say every week, I want to remind you, if you made that decision, those of you online, please let us know through a direct message. Share your information. We'll be sure to get a gift in your hands and help you take some of those next steps.